tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Unclear moments, you were the one keeping me strong. sometimes I deny. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my guide through all of this. Ooh, through all of this. And this is who you are. More constant than the stars up in the sky. All these years of my life, I look back and I see you. Right now I still do. I'm always going to. I've won, I've lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, you have been my guide through all of it. Oh, you have been my guide through all of it. Oh, you have been my guide through all of it.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. First of all, I want to say a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there for tomorrow. I hope all of you have had a blessed week. I'm happy to join all of you here today. It's been another rainy week in my location, and so far, in just a few weeks, we have received between 7.5 and 8 inches of rain. I am so looking forward to some sun to dry out our yard. It's hard to tell if our yard is a yard or if it is a swimming pool at this point. But praise God for the rain, too. God is in control, and He knows what He is doing. Folks, I have a confession to make this week. I had the topic I was going to talk about this week, thought I had heard so clearly from the Lord, and I got on my computer to make preparations for today's message, thinking I was just going to jump right in like I always do. I soon discovered that I had writer's block. I had researched material, I had it all laid out before me, and yet my thoughts were just scrambled. I prayed for God's guidance to give me the words He wanted me to share with you today, but nothing came. I tried a second day, and a third day, nothing. I would write some things down just to delete it. Nothing sounded right. I was getting quite frustrated. All I could think of was, time was running out to get the message prepared, and it just wasn't happening fast enough to suit me. Well, guess what, folks? I got a quick reminder that things do not happen on my time. It happens on God's time. Shaziz came in the house, saw my frustration, asked me what was wrong. I told him, and the good Lord used him to tell me some truths. So after giving it some thought, I decided what God wanted me to do was to go in a slightly different direction. Still using the same topic, though. God's ways are so different from our ways. Today's message is about choosing right from wrong. Through Shaziz, God made it clear that I was in the middle of wrestling with some choices of my own. See, here was my dilemma. I was released to drive this past Tuesday, 3 weeks after my surgery. Mother's Day's tomorrow, and I have an aunt that is having a 90th birthday celebration today. Both my mom and my aunt's celebration are 2 hours north of where I live. My vehicle had been in the shop getting some minor repairs fixed while I was recovering from surgery, and I could not drive it anyway, even if I wanted to. But this past Wednesday, I went to pick up my vehicle with my husband, and I was so excited and eager to drive it back home, to taste my newfound freedom once again. All the simple things that we take for granted, like driving, until we can't do it for a while. Anyway, I got behind the wheel and I drove it the 8 miles back home. About halfway through that journey, I discovered, unfortunately, perhaps physically, I was still not ready to drive. The mind was willing, but the body was not. I was so disappointed. In that short drive home, it became a reality that I really should not attempt to drive 2 hours north. Helping my mom go grocery shopping and attend my aunt's birthday celebration, and then drive back home 2 hours next day. There was more disappointment and discouragement. It really meant a lot to go see my mom for Mother's Day, being that Dad is not there with her anymore. I did not want her to spend the day alone or to miss out on my aunt's celebration. I was her ride to the event. My aunt only turns 90 years old once in a lifetime. Everyone on my dad's side of the family are getting up there in years, and with Dad's passing, it has really hit me hard to make every moment count. It broke my heart thinking I would probably have to miss all of that. All week I wrestled. Just take extra pillows to cushion the rugged ride of my mountaineer. I can do this. I should not do this. I can do this. Back and forth, all week. I kept right on wrestling with myself. I would be crazy to drive that distance. First time driving after surgery, and so long for me to get there. What if halfway through the drive I got to feeling really poorly and I was all by myself? I would have no other choice but to keep going or to turn around and come back. But I don't know how many more Mother's Days I will get with my mom. My aunt is turning 90. Don't know how much longer she'll be on this earth either. I argued with myself all week. I know some of you out there can relate to what I am saying. The struggle is real. My common sense told me that I had no business even thinking about going so far from home by myself, such a short time after my surgery, trying to tackle so much activity because I tire out so quickly these days. But my common sense was overridden by the extreme desire to be with my family on such an important event, and the fact that I did not want to disappoint my mom because she has really missed seeing me every week before the surgery. I was actually feeling sort of sorry for myself because, not that it was anyone's fault, but with my dad's health over the past year or so, I have missed out on many important family occasions, and each one I continue to miss, for whatever reason, still bothers me a great deal. Even right up to the last moment, I'm thinking, I will prepare the show in advance, air it in advance, and then let Shaziz rebroadcast it today. I was still holding out that hope that I would feel differently and be able to make it anyway. So I had all these stressors going on this week. The only thing that I got accomplished was a whole lot of nothing, because I was battling between right and wrong in my own mind, trying to do it my way instead of God's way. In the good old days, before this surgery, I would not have let this little problem stand in the way of getting to my family up north. However, having major surgery can be a game changer. I am used to pushing through just about any obstacle, not letting much slow me down, but these past few weeks have been a constant reminder of who is really in control and who is in charge. It's been a refresher course also in patience, which is not one of my greatest virtues. Of all things for the Lord to place on my heart to speak about this week, He chose choosing right from wrong. Once again, God knows what He is doing, and He is in control, not us. I was actually thinking, are you sure you heard God right? He wants me to talk about what? I can't even make up my own mind this week. But isn't that typical of the way life works? Sometimes the decisions we make are easy, clear-cut, and yet other decisions are a struggle. We feel torn. We are not sure what to do or which direction to go. It would be nice if all your decisions were easy ones, but that is not how life works. God made us with free will and extraordinary minds for decision-making. Let's face it, though. Making decisions can make us feel overwhelmed. We have a gazillion options to choose between for everything. It is said that we make on an average of 35,000 decisions every day. That boggles my mind just thinking about it. Every day we bounce back and forth at work, at home, while we're driving down the road, working outside on the farm, working in the shop, exercising at the gym, gardening, cleaning house, mowing the lawn, all day long, back and forth in our mind. Sometimes it can be a grueling task. No wonder we are always so tired at the end of the night. Sometimes we second-guess ourselves. making things much harder than they need to be. The huge question is not what is the right thing, but how to choose to do the right thing. Do you remember the story in the Bible about what happened to Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve were told to never eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Ever since that day, we humans have had the knowledge of the right thing to do and what not to do. God has given us a built-in compass. Unfortunately, we also inherited another little trait from Eve, the unending desire to taste forbidden fruit. With our built-in compass, we know the right things to do, but the hard part is doing it. C.S. Lewis sums it up pretty good when he said, "Integrity is doing right, even when no one is watching." And Theodore Roosevelt said, "Knowing what is right does not mean much unless you do what is right." So true. It's difficult sometimes to know what decision to make according to God's will for our life. This should be our ultimate goal when making decisions. Not only do we need to stop and ask ourselves, is it right, but is it pleasing to God? To help you know what God's will is for you, we need to know more about God's Word. He has given us the greatest instruction manual of all time, and it's called the Bible. It's all laid out in the Bible, verse after verse, about decision-making, how to overcome decision anxiety, choices, and wisdom. First of all, let's explore what God's will is. Talking about the will of God is easier said than done. There is still a lot of confusion around the subject. This leads us to God's sovereign will and God's revealed will. Some of you may be asking, what is the difference? Sovereign means God's secret or hidden will for us. This means that we do not see this part of God's will until after it occurs. And some examples of this are, is it God's will for it to rain tomorrow? Will the business proposal that you pitched be picked? You may be able to forecast the answer to these questions, or even have a pretty good idea of what the outcome will be, but you will not know God's will until after the fact occurs. And just an FYI, there is nothing that falls outside of God's sovereign will. Whatever God has willed or decreed to occur will happen in your life. Now let's talk about God's revealed will for us. God's revealed will refers to how God desires for us to live our life. And here are a few examples of this in the Bible. Acts 3:19. It's God's will for you to repent and believe in Jesus. Leviticus 19:11. It is God's will for you to tell the truth. 1 Corinthians 10:31. It is God's will that you should glorify Him. Romans 12:11 through 17. It is God's will for you to work hard. So what is God's will for your life? On the one hand, when we are talking about God's will for our life, you're not going to find the answer to certain specific questions you have, such as, who should you marry? Where should you work? What college should you attend? On the other hand, what you will find in the Bible are morals and principles that will hopefully guide you in the decisions that you make. As I mentioned earlier, we make an average of 35,000 decisions a day. For the vast majority of those decisions, we will just have to make a choice. For the believer, if you are in constant communion with God through prayer, reading the Bible, you won't necessarily need to spend a large amount of time on every decision you make because you will already have the basic knowledge of God's will and how that works. There are certain decisions that God expects you to make with the brain and the common sense that He gave you. For instance, what clothes should I wear today? I don't know, just wear something. You know what looks decent and what looks inappropriate. Should I lie about my tax returns? No, you should always tell the truth. Do I need to take my spouse out to dinner? Love your spouse. Let that be your guide. What should I eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Food, of course. Just don't overeat and overindulge. But here is the deal. When you need to make a moral or non-moral decision, it's always a good idea to seek the help of the Bible. Do not rely on your friends for their advice. By following God's guidelines for decision-making, it will help us to avoid potential pitfalls too, and it will honor the Lord in the decisions that we do make. There was an article I read about a young person who went for an interview with a company. In visiting, the young person asked the one interviewing them, "How did you become so successful?" The one interviewing replied, "Two words." The young person asked, "What are they?" Interviewer says, "Right decisions." So the young person asked, "How did you make the right decisions?" The interviewer responded, one word, experience. Intrigued, the young person asked, "How did you get that experience?" Interviewer replied, two words. The young person says, "What are they?" Interviewer responds back with his final answer, "Wrong decisions." We have all felt foolish, ashamed, guilty, or regretful over doing something incredibly stupid, despicable, or unforgivable. Do you remember Judas in the Bible? He was supposedly one of Jesus' dear friends and disciples. All of the disciples were deserters, but Judas was a traitor. The chief priests and elders came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They were under the rule of Pilate, the governor, a very evil man. Jesus' appearance in the temple was creating quite a ruckus, and Pilate was threatening the chief priests and high elders with their life if something was not done about Jesus. The night before Jesus was arrested, during the time they sat down for the Last Supper, Jesus had a vision of being betrayed by one of his disciples. He knew it was going to be Judas. He told all of his disciples who were sitting around the table that one of them would betray him before the next day dawned. He pointed out Judas. Sure enough, very early the next morning, Judas led the high priests and elders to where Jesus was. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Here is an example of someone in the Bible making a very wrong decision. Judas made two wrong decisions right away after coming to the temple. The chief priests and high elders wanted nothing more than to accuse Jesus of something so that they could save their own people. The high priest kept his eyes out for any sign of weakness among Jesus and his disciples, and Judas appeared to be the weak link. The high priest confronted him and arranged a meeting. Judas first decided to meet the high priest, or the chief priest, and the high elders to answer some of their questions in return for payment for the information he provided them about Jesus. When Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, saw that Jesus was being condemned, Judas later tried to correct that mistake by making another mistake, meeting the same people for another bargain. These were the same people and the same kind of negotiations that got Judas into trouble in the first place. Judas was a failing opportunist. He did not see what he had done wrong until Jesus' fate was already sealed. Jesus was arrested on false pretenses, taken away, and to be put to death. Judas saw no wrong in receiving money, in betraying Jesus, but only that the whole mess had got out of hand. See, folks, how quickly bad decisions can become game changers. Regardless of where we find ourselves about the decisions that we make, we should always be concerned about whether or not we're making good decisions that please God. One bad choice can lead to another and another. It does not take long for these bad choices or a string of bad choices to catch up with us and completely take us off course from God's plan. Sometimes our bad choices do not just affect us. These bad choices can have a huge impact for people around us too. It's called the fallout effect or the domino effect. Folks, the ultimate measure of a person is not where we stand in moments of convenience, but where we stand in moments of challenge, moments of crisis and controversy. Doing what is right in difficult situations is a huge challenge. Clearly, there are right and wrong choices. All the invented words such as inappropriate and counterproductive are efforts to avoid the simple ethical fact that there is a right and a wrong course of action. Of course, none of us get it right all the time. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. We are only human. We only grow in wisdom if we learn from our mistakes. Some name it disappointment and become poorer, yet others name it experience and become richer. In 2 Thessalonians, the Bible says, "Never tire of doing what is right." Jesus did not go for the easy or the popular solution, but he always did the right thing. This is an important principle that runs throughout the Bible. In James 4:17, the Bible says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." It does not get much more straightforward than that, folks. We live in a world of chaos and confusion, Satan's playground. Knowingly doing the wrong thing may feel good in the moment, but ultimately we will find no pleasure, no fulfillment, no true joy, or real satisfaction in choosing the wrong thing. Our greatest need is to choose the right thing and to reap the benefits of well-doing. Have you ever felt like somewhere along the way you must have dropped the ball? Things do not seem right. Sometimes we make mistakes, not knowing it right away, and then it feels awkward and out of place. Some mistakes can lead us to a season in our life that makes us feel as if we are just kind of lost and wandering. We do not know what to do or why things keep happening in the way that they do. And sometimes we feel like we are just going in circles, making no progress at all. And until we learn the thing that God intended for us to learn, nothing changes. We will endure a time of repetitive behaviors until we learn the lesson and do it the right way according to God. Have any of you ever felt that there was a time in your life where life just seemed to be on a cycle of repeat? It probably felt as if nothing much changed in your life during that time. It is God's way of saying, "You messed up. You did not pass the test. Go back and try again." Before we go any further, I'm going to go to a quick break. And the first song is going to be Life's Song, and it's by Casting Crowns.
Lord, I offer up this rebel heart, so stubbornness, so restless from the start. I don't wanna fight you anymore, so take this rebel heart and make it yours. Father, I no longer wanna run. You've broken my resistance with your love and drowned it underneath the crimson spill. So bend this apple heart into your will. I give it over to you.
Show listeners, I hope you enjoyed the music through the break. If you are just tuning in, today's message is Choosing Right from Wrong. The podcast of the show will be uploaded after the show if you want to go back and listen or share the message with a friend. It is hard sometimes to make decisions. Some decisions are pretty easy. Maybe it only takes a few moments to make a decision. But other decisions are truly difficult. It can take days or weeks to decide which direction we should take. We wonder if we have chose the right thing or the wrong thing. It's overwhelming and exhausting. On average, it is said that we make somewhere around 35,000 choices a day. Wow, that is a huge amount of decisions being made in one day. It's no wonder we feel tired at the end of the day. I'm just going to recap for a moment for those of you who are just tuning in. Do you remember the story in the Bible about what Adam and Eve, what happened to them? Adam and Eve was told to never eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but they did it anyway. And ever since that day, we humans have had the knowledge of the right thing to do and what not to do. God has given us a built-in compass. Unfortunately, we also inherited another little trait from Eve, the unending desire to taste forbidden fruit. With our built-in compass, we know the right things to do, but the hard part is doing it. This leads me into the second half of today's message. Everyone makes decisions, no matter what your beliefs are about God. For Christians, though, doing the right thing is not just an occasional moral dilemma. It is a way of life. This is what makes the path more difficult to follow. You cannot just pick and choose when you will follow the high road or make the tough call. You must always choose the right thing to do every time, regardless of the circumstances or the consequences, or make every attempt to at least try to do the right thing. Jesus warned that this type of rigorous spiritual discipline would cause many to give up and turn back to the broader pathway of, I'm going to do it my way, instead of the right way. For those of us that choose to follow the spiritual path, to tough it out, here are some things to consider. Do what is right biblically. Righteousness is defined by the scriptures as a person who does not allow his or her emotions, what we feel or think, to dictate the choices that we make, but a person who lives by God's word and not his or her own desires. Doing right according to God's word is always the right way to do it. And also, expect opposition. It would be great if everything fell into place and went smoothly. But once again, that is not the way life works. Although people will talk about doing the right thing, when it actually comes down to the time to do it, that is quite another matter. Right reveals wrong, and people do not like to be told they are wrong. They do not like to have their wrongs revealed. So be prepared to pay the price. Understanding and choosing to do the right thing is exciting at first, but sooner or later there will be a price to pay. Jesus did the right thing his whole life, and look at what the world did to him. He was put to death. There is no excuse for wrong behavior. So how do we choose right from wrong? First of all, we need to understand that our decision-making is a very complex process. It involves our knowledge and our desires, and other input from outside sources. Let's start with your knowledge of what is right in a particular situation. Then, let's add our desire to do the right thing. Now, let's look at one of the other sources, and perhaps that other source is you. Suddenly, after some thought, perhaps we tell ourselves, I'm just too tired. I don't want to do that after all. Maybe it will cost me something. And perhaps the cost to you will be in the form of money, comfort, or time. The next source of interference may come from former training or certain prejudice. Maybe you subliminally hear your parents' voice of disapproval. Then let's add in the dark input from the world. The same voice that Eve heard in the garden. It'll be okay. Just do it. Eat the fruit. Satan has an interest in your choosing not to do the right thing. He is the champion of evil, and he wants you to fall from God's grace. Satan sends whatever thought or fear it will take to dissuade you from doing the right thing. We need to learn how to sort through and decide what information we will allow to influence our decisions, and reject the information that causes us to choose to do the wrong thing. Think, look back, and reflect upon your previous tendencies to make bad choices. When we have taken the wrong path before, there is usually a pivotal point somewhere, a pivotal moment, in which we made this decision, and we can clearly remember why we chose one path over the other. When you remember what that is, then find the reason, or the source, information, and use that as a lesson for your future decisions. Review your decisions before you make them. What caused you to make certain decisions the way you did? Were you afraid, selfish, greedy, confused? Perhaps you didn't have enough knowledge to make a right decision. Did low self-confidence or low self-esteem cause you to choose one way or the other? If one of these reasons is what caused you to do something wrong, sometimes you are going to have to choose to override yourself. Folks, we need to armor up with the full armor of God each and every morning. The moment we wake up, before we even get out of bed, the only way to fight the enemy is to have God's Word firmly planted in our hearts so that we can reject the evil voices that speak into our lives. By doing so, we can be free to choose to do the right thing. 1 Peter 3:14 says, "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened." In Galatians 6:9, the Bible says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." James 1:22, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Avoid temptation, for the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so that you can be able to bear it. Once again, how do you know if you are doing the right thing? In Romans 14:23, the Bible says, "But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning. If you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning." Folks, it has been my personal experience. When I had a decision to make, if I don't have peace about it in my heart, the things leading up to the final decision seem just way too hard, nothing is falling into place, then it's probably the wrong decision. It has been my personal experience also that during those times, I have to take a step back and reflect on the situation. Who is in control? Am I wanting something so bad, or something right now, that I am trying to force it to happen on my own? Or am I waiting for God to guide me and get his approval? Doing it on my own, I don't have peace about it. But doing it the right way, God's way, there is a peace. I hope you will remember that and think about it the next time you feel resistance in what you are doing. And with that having been said, there is a scripture that also backs that up. In Galatians 5:19 through 23, the Bible says, "Now the effects of the corrupt nature are obvious: illicit sex, perversion, promiscuity, idolatry, drug use, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, angry outbursts, selfish ambition, conflict, factions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and similar things. I've told you in the past, and I'm telling you again, that people who do these kinds of things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the spiritual nature produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are no laws against things like that." Folks, if it causes you chaos, confusion, doubt, fear, etc., then that is not of God. That is Satan, and nothing good will come from following the broad path with Satan. But if it brings you all the things that I mentioned above, such as love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, etc., then you know that you are probably on the right path. Psalm 34:14. "Turn away from evil and do what is right. Strive for peace and promote it." I keep going back to this question: how do you know if you are doing the right thing? There are times when life really kicks us around. We simply do not know if we are doing the right thing. But in order to figure that out, I believe we need to take a closer look from within to find out whether an action or decision is morally right or wrong. Let's explore further into this. Let's talk about these two things: the action itself and our motivation for doing the action. The action itself. Sometimes it is the easiest of the two things to figure out. read and study the Bible, get involved in a Bible study group, talk to a pastor, listen to a live stream broadcast of a favorite televangelist. Hopefully you have had some amazing parents that have taught you the basics of right and wrong, has instilled that foundation in you from a very, very early age. A very good place to begin learning what is right from wrong is by reading the Ten Commandments. You shall not have any other gods but me. You shall not make for yourself any other idol, nor bow down to it or worship it. This means anything that you put before God, making it more important than God, such as money, material things, people, etc. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. No cursing with his name attached. No cursing at all, for that matter. You shall remember and keep the Sabbath day holy. No working on Sundays. But I know sometimes it can't be helped. Respect your father and mother. You must not commit murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not give false evidence against your neighbor. No lying, gossiping, slandering, or judgment. You must not be envious of your neighbor's goods. You shall not be envious of his house, nor his wife, nor anything that belongs to him. Do not be jealous of your fellow brothers and sisters for what, for having what they want. Be grateful for what God has given you. Of course, there will be times when decisions are more difficult, and we are just not sure about what is the best or the most helpful decision. But if we know what God's Word says, we should be able to make a moral decision. The second aspect of knowing whether something is right or wrong is a little bit more difficult. Are we doing the right thing for the right reason? What is our motivation? In the Old Testament, God condemned the Israelites for doing the ceremonies that He required because they did so with the wrong motivation. Remember, God knows your heart. You cannot lie to God. That is a very sobering fact. If you think you can hide certain things from God that you do not want Him to know about, you are sorely wrong. The Israelites obeyed some of God's commands in an effort to get God to bless them in spite of their disobedience to other commands. Hypocrisy does not impress God, folks. When we think about doing something or saying something to someone, we need to stop and ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Am I doing this for God's glory or my own glory? In summary to this, if you have searched Scripture and know that a particular action is pleasing to God, and you have searched your heart and think that you are doing the right thing, then doing it out of desire to please God, then you should have the confidence that you are doing what is morally right. But folks, if there is any doubt in your mind, a nagging feeling of maybe something is not right, then you probably should not proceed if you do not have complete peace in your heart. It is hard sometimes to do the right thing, even when you know what it is, because we all get caught up in emotions and we forget. So what can we do to get back on the right path? Pause to think about the situation. Consider what you are doing and why. Pray and obey. That's what you do. We need to surround ourselves with reinforcements to make our decisions easier. Perhaps that could be other people who are choosing to do the right thing. It's easier to do the right thing when you are out with your family, your children, doing some family activity together than it is to be in some nightclub scene. Fill your mind with good thoughts by reading good things, watching clean, uplifting movies, opening your eyes to the blessings that you already enjoy, such as health and family. But most of all, pray to God about it. Read His Word, the Bible. Within its pages, God has left encouragement and your guide to help make the right decisions. Pray often for guidance and direction and to be open to His message for you. You will receive it. Practice, practice, practice. We get good at what we do often. And it gets easier, too. Accept the fact that you will not always make the right decision every time. We fall down. Just get back up and go again. As long as you are not purposely making wrong decisions, then ask forgiveness of God, pull yourself back up, and keep moving forward. The better you get the hang of that, the less you will stumble. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually." Romans 12:17-20, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Live peaceably with all, if possible." Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." I was reading a daily devotional the other day, and I wanted to share this with you folks. There was a public school teacher. He and his class were enjoying study hall at the time. The teacher always had a cup of coffee on his desk every day. The students would often comment about how they loved the aroma of the brewing coffee in the room. One day, the teacher got a memo from the school principal. The memo stated that individual coffee makers were no longer going to be permitted in the classrooms due to the safety and cost issues. The teacher complied with the request, a bit grudgingly. A few days later, a student came into his room and commented, "Mr. Barnes, why did you stop making coffee?" The teacher replied that the coffee police had got a hold of him. Mr. Barnes went on to explain what the memo had said from the principal. The student's quick response was, "That's okay, Mr. Barnes. We won't tell." Right there was a teachable moment. So the teacher waited on the rest of the classroom to join them, and then opened the discussion about the absent coffee maker. He explained to them that it was not about getting caught. It was about doing the right thing. It's true. The principal would probably never find out. But the teacher would have known that he had done the wrong thing, and he was set a bad example for the young people in his classroom. The young people in his classroom looked at him as if he were from Mars. They could not understand his language. But then he asked them a question that further baffled them. He asked them, "If I am not willing to follow the rules our principal gives me, then why should you be expected to follow the rules in my classroom?" He still was met with blank stares. He knew he wasn't getting through to them. But the seed had been planted in their mind, and one day in the future he hoped that the young people would find themselves at just such a crossroads involving submission and authority and doing the right thing. Information does not change us, but revelation does. God waits for teachable moments, and when our heart is ready, the Holy Spirit quickens the information we already have. It opens our spiritual eyes to comprehend the truth revealed. Folks, it is true. We make many, many decisions in a day's time. A baffling amount, to be exact. Some decisions are as easy as what tie to wear with our suit, what shoes to wear with our dress, what we want to eat, how do we want to wear our hair today? Are we going to the gas station first or the post office? Are we going to take this route or choose a different scenery to go to work? Are we going to mow the lawn today or wait till tomorrow? Other decisions take longer to make, and there are so many more things to factor in to decide what is a wrong or right decision. I personally always try to lean toward whatever decision brings peace in my heart and does not leave me doubting and confused. I hope this message has been helpful to all of you, and I'm going to go on to a prayer at this time. I would like for all of you to please join in the prayer with me and say it with me. Father, thank you for this beautiful day and for all the blessings you pour out in my life every day. Thank you for loving me the way that only you can. Thank you for your discipline in my life, the grace, mercy, and forgiveness you show me each new, fresh day, even though I do not deserve it. Thank you for my family and my health, for a roof over my head, for meeting all of my needs. Please forgive me of all of my sins, even the ones that I might not even be aware of. Father, help me to do the right thing, regardless of circumstances. Thank you that the past is forgiven and forgotten. Thank you that I can know you. thank you that you have put the Spirit within my heart. Father, please help me to forgive others and show them the same grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness that you show me every day. Realizing and accepting that no one is perfect, and reminding me of all the times I have failed and how many times you have still shown me grace. Please guide me to do the right thing today and into the future. Help to soften my heart so that I don't miss out on what you want me to hear. Let your will be done in my life here on earth as in heaven. Please put a hedge of protection around myself and my family as we go about this next week. And all the people said, Amen. I'm glad you spoke that prayer with me. God bless each and every one of you. Until next week, same time, same place. And I'm going to play us up out of here today with 10,000 Reasons by Matt Redwin and East to West by Casting Crowns. Thank you, everyone. And once again, happy Mother's Day. I love you all.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship Your holy name. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like your holy name. Bless you, Lord. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Forevermore.
your holy name. Sing like never. Worship your holy name, Jesus, I will worship your holy name, worship your holy
drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as east is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been, you're rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far?